This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
This is Charlie Epps. Charlie Epps Golf Hour in Houston, Texas. Live on Dow Communications. We're going to talk some golf. We're going to talk about last week, this week, any week you want to talk about. We have a guest this morning. His name is Jason Alexander, a golf professional in the Woodlands, Texas, at Carlton Woods.
Welcome. We're still there, 19 years deep here, golf doctor, 19 years. How about that?
But you also have you have a radio background.
We do. You know, my dad was the voice of the Bell Bramas growing up. I grew up in a press box. Got to call the Woodlands Highlander game last night, which is always a lot of fun. They nipped them 63-0. Second half was a little dry, but always a lot of fun.
But he also is a great golf professional, great player. He has a lot of fun with everybody. He helps out Insperity, our sponsor, and we're brought to you by Insperity, a company that inspires business performance. We're going to talk a little about what happened last week. We're going to talk about what's happening this week at Congaree, a course that was designed a few years ago and is playing like it's been there for 50 years. So there's a lot going on in golf. Golf is really changing. We're going to visit with Jason about LIV Golf.
Huh? We have to talk about LIV Golf here a little bit, but I've got a few questions about that now to golf doctor.
Well, I'm sure you do. You have a lot of opinions, and that's why we're going to have some fun with you. But Will is home fighting the flu, so everybody get out and take your flu shot, get healthy, and don't get that ugly disease. We're through COVID, but I've had the flu, and man, it'll kill you. But, Insperity is a unique company. It's a company that was established in 1986 to really have an HR company. And they're our sponsor, and they help people. And that's what we want to do here. We're going to help people with your golf game. I've been doing this radio for a long time, teaching golf on the radio. We're going to talk about a few different tricks on how to get better. And other than that, we're going to break right now. And I hope you all stay tuned. We'll be right back, and we're talking golf.
Let's have some fun.
Fun. Whew.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
I'm subbing for Will. He's homesick with the flu. Everybody's got to go out and get their flu shot for this winter season. But we're going to talk golf today with a guest, Jason Alexander, who's the golf pro up at the golf course in Carlton Woods. Right over at the Fazio, you teach, you do everything?
We teach, we have a big time, entertain the members. Just got a member guest last week. Shout out to Brian Petroskis and his guest, Bradford Bryant, wanting a shootout, big shootout, and wonderful weather. Great time had by all, Charlie Epps.
Well, we're going to talk a little, we talk a lot of professional golf here. The PGA Tour is usually our big topic, and we talk about personalities and what's going on. We're going to talk about LIV, get your opinion of LIV Golf, and Greg Norman, what he's doing to the game. But last week we had an interesting tournament, and it was a Zozo in Japan. And a gentleman by the name of Keegan Bradley, whose father is also a PGA golf professional, he won the event. He hadn't won for 4 years for different reasons, but he really put on a good show and hung in there and won. And then the second finisher was who?
Ricky Fowler, who is officially back. He's back with Butch Harmon. His game is trending. And I'm telling you, I thought he was going to get the W last week. Keegan nipped him out. But look for Ricky Fowler to have a big-time year moving into 2023.
You know, sometimes we react to – he's got to have two or three more tournaments to convince me. But congratulations to him. Now we move forward from last week to this week. And this week is a unique venue. And a venue is the golf course that was built – by none other than one of our great golf professionals from Scotland, Bruce Davidson, and John McNeely work for a gentleman by the name of Freakin, who is really into everything. He has his own soccer club in Rome, but he really loves the game of golf. And they built a unique golf course in the lowlands of southern South Carolina. And it appears to be like a South Australian golf course, hard sand. And so they had a tournament last year there, and now they were rewarded with another tournament, the CJ Cup. And we watch it on television, and it plays hard and fast. And a unique round of golf yesterday shot by John Rahm, who just won in Spain, the Madrid Open, but shot 62.
Well, everybody talked about how hard Congaree is. It appears on television like the Pinehurst redo. I know you've played Congaree, but when they kind of did the redesign of Pinehurst and held the U.S. Open, that's kind of vibe and feel it looks like on TV. But a great round by John Rahm. But I got to ask the question, who's not pulling for Kurt Kitayama? The fan club is in full effect out there in South Carolina.
Who is Kurt?
He's leading the tournament.
Kurt, but who is he?
Well, no one knows who he is. I'm joking.
Okay, but he's first place.
He's 11 under, though.
He and John Rahm. Cam Davis has been playing really well. Aaron Wise and Rory McIlroy.
Which we're going to get to the Charlie Epps questions here in a bit, and Rory's one of them. But Rory right there, two back. His game's just been wonderful here over the last year. Hot putter, which has always kind of held Rory back, in my opinion. So I think, you know, a Rahm-Rory showdown on Sunday, that's great golf in October here when everybody's focused on football. We're going to have to keep that remote kind of on the back channel to watch the showdown on Sunday afternoon out in Congaree.
No, football, what's that?
Do you do fantasy football?
No.
Maybe a little past your time. Everybody does fantasy football. I'm going to get you a team next year. We're going to be co-managers,
that's,
Charlie.
That's too much.
No, I'll manage the team.
I'll watch the games on Sunday. I'll watch the ESPN, the wrap-ups and all that kind of stuff.
But Chris Berman's still going.
Chris, he needs to go to the pasture. But going into this week the tour has started again. I mean, this is the wraparound season that is going to go away next year. Right here in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Houston Open. And the golf course, I played it a couple of days ago, and it's magnificent. And it's going to play hard and fast. Scottie Scheffler, I'm going to predict right now he's going to win.
And speaking of the Houston Open, I think that's a solid pick.
No, wait a minute. Well, how about my pick?
I think it's a solid pick. I was going to comment. I mean, I'm walking out on a big limb picking the number one player in the world there, Golf Doctor. I'm telling you what. But I'll tell you this. The Houston Open, I have one of my good friends, Colin Castile, that's in the agronomy side of the golf business. He said he was out there as well. He said Memorial Park's the best he's seen it leading up to the Houston Open. So that'll be absolutely wonderful for all the fans. And then a shout out to Cole Hammer, one of our new Insperity sponsors. He got an exemption.
Brand ambassador.
Let me get my lingo right. But he got a sponsor's exemption into this year, which he deserves, coming out of the University of Texas, getting his career started. So we're all excited to watch Cole here in a few weeks.
No, he's already played four or five events. This isn't his first start on the PGA Tour.
No, but coming early in his career, I mean. He's just getting started.
Yeah. No, he's a fine young man and from Houston and went on Texas. They won the national championship. So what more can you want? But, and speaking of Scottie Scheffler, he's 3 under. He's struggling with the putter. The ball's going one way, and he thinks it should be going the other way.
But while we're on the Scottie Scheffler topic, I do have to ask you a question here. Any scar tissue, and I'm a big Scheffler fan. He played in our big AJJ event at the Club at Carlton Woods Fazio for a couple years. Super cool dude. Laid back. I think kind of comparable to Freddie Couples' vibe. Does he have any scar tissue? Bad Sunday at the British Open, really bad Sunday at the Tour Championship. Is that going to linger on a little bit here moving forward for Scotty?
We don't talk enough about what is scar tissue. Scar tissue is having a shot at the wrong time, at the wrong place, and it costs you a tournament. And then you get back, just like what happened to Jordan Spieth
at Augusta, number 12,
yeah,
sure.
And
the 8.
It affects you. All of a sudden, that for some reason, we remember more bad shots than good shots. You got to have a selective memory and put that out of your way, because you get up in the similar situation and you, oh my God, remember what I did over there? Boom, that's what happened. So yes, scar tissue, it's maturing. You end up playing professional golf every, you know, 40 weeks a year. You're going to hit enough shots that are good shots, but some bad shots. And a scar tissue, what's your definition of scar tissue?
Exactly what you said. And I think what you talk about, mental, having a good mind in the game of golf, that's what it's all about for me, in my opinion, is thinking of the right shots. It's recalling the good records, the good tunes in your golf game. And it's much easier to think about the bad. It's very difficult to do, but the best players in the world do it.
You think Freddie Couples has any scar tissue?
Yes, I think no one's immune to it.
How did he shoot 60?
Well, he overcame it. He didn't have to worry about scar tissue because that smooth swing was on go. It was on go. Did you watch the round? Did you see it?
I've watched it on my phone. I've been watching Freddie since he came to Houston in 1978 or 77 or whatever it was. And he put some clinics on for me at Houston Country Club, him and Blaine McAllister and Jim Nance and Paul Marchand. But his swing has stayed the same. His swing is one of those unique, effortless swings that Freddie, and only Freddie knows what he's doing with the golf club. And everybody, he acts, you know, like he doesn't know what's going on, but he's nobody's fool. And he can put the club on the right plane at the right time. And this past 60 was incredible.
Well, I want you to talk about the clinic that you had him do. Because, you know, Paul Marchand was my first instructor out at Houston Country Club in that back cut. And I got to be around Freddie just a little bit. And he was just my idol. 1996, coming from Belleville, Texas, to meet Fred Couples was just a dream. But Paul Marchand, what a wonderful instructor, like you are. But talk to us about the clinic Freddie did with the Bellotta ball and the driver. What would happen?
Well, back in those days, the equipment was completely different, as we know today. I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know. The golf ball was made out of a Bellotta plastic or rubber, and it was, you know, it went good, but it would still go offline. And Freddie had a shot where he would tee the ball up, back away, take a practice swing, and get behind the ball. And, you know, he's not saying much, but everybody's watching him, and he's, you know, the ladies love Freddie. He's got that charisma that's
he's just
Arnold
cool.
Palmer, you know. And so he had accidentally hit the ball off the tee, knock it off. You know, and everybody said, well, that's one. No. Yeah. But all of a sudden, he wouldn't reach down for the golf ball. He'd start a swing. And you said, what the heck's going to happen here? And Jason, he would hit a shot so beautiful off the ground with the driver of persimmon with not much loft.
Tight lie,
290 yards. I mean, he had a set of hands that he could put the club on the back of the ball and out in front of him. He gave his secret away. He talked about his speed. He wants to be swinging faster past the ball, not as he gets to the ball. He wants to be accelerating through the ball, and it's effortless power. And he's got big, wide shoulders, big legs. He was a good baseball player. So Freddie's my idol, too. So what he did.
I tried to pattern my golf swing. I never made it, obviously, to Freddie's level. But, boy, I tell you, back in 96, that's all I wanted to do was swing it like Freddie.
You know, and Freddie, fortunately, he couldn't stay healthy because he had a back and all the contortions he did to make the club do what he wanted to do put excess pressure on his back, and he's never been – if he had been healthy, he could have won 50 tournaments. He was so much more talented than Phil Mickelson ever was.
And for any of the fans out there, I just got to tell you, go back and YouTube Freddie Couples from the late 80s when he first came on tour. It is something magical.
All right, we're going to break.
We had a break.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
I'm subbing for Will this morning as your host because Will is homesick with the flu. I'm sure he's listening. Hang in there. Come back soon. I got Knucklehead in here, Jason.
Charlie keeps giving these eyes, Will. You got to get back in here next week soon.
But right now, I want to talk about none other than Insperity. You know, during the recent health and economic crisis in America, Insperity has helped their clients navigate through the chaos and ultimately rise above the challenges. And that is really what we all strive for. It's easy when it's good, but when we're having some problems, we need help. And Insperity is an HR company that makes a difference. HR that makes a difference. It is specializes in interpreting all the government regulations and making sure that businesses stay attuned to all what they must have behind the scenes. But this will free up the owners to go out and sell their products, to sell their business, and that's the way you grow the business. So if you want to improve your bottom line this coming year, and boy, we all know we're fighting inflation and there's so many challenges, HR is there to help you. And Insperity will provide the expertise that you need. So log on to Insperity.com. Invite them to come out to your business. They can help you in so many different ways, and they will help you, and they will help your clients. So that's all what we want to do. So Insperity has been our sponsor from day one. They're great people, great staff. I mean, now they have 4,000 employees all over the country. It's a $6 billion company because they're good. So, Jason, you work for them. We're in the HR business, and we want to help people with their golf game. They're helping people in their business game.
Absolutely. They're simply the best, Charlie Epps, and it's an absolute honor and pleasure to be associated with them. There's no doubt about that. All right, Golf Doctor, my turn. I get to pitch you a couple questions. And one little hot take here, moving into the holiday season. Are we all ready to watch the Houston Astros light up Garrett Cole tonight like a Christmas tree? I know we are. That a baby. Yes, sir. All right, Charlie Epps, legendary.
How about my hat?
I know. That's what I'm talking about it. We have the Stros hat on, World Series on the side. We're going to go back to another. All right, Charlie Epps, back to golf. Legendary golf instructor. And most people know you're one heck of a player back in the day. And I mean back in the day. But what heck of a player. What was your favorite drill? What did you do? Because we always talk about big muscles. You know, I'm more of a hands guy. What did you do? What was your favorite drill when you were playing for a living to kind of get you in tune with your game?
Well, what I always like doing is watching other great coaches coach. And this one day I had this opportunity. I was in Los Angeles and at UCLA at the great Bruins, they're national champions back in the 60s, and they had a coach named John Wooden.
Oh, yeah.
And so I snuck into the practice. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, and for an hour, all he did was walkthroughs, meaning, okay, you go here, Lou, you go here, you know, all these great players, you go there, you go this way, and you walk through. And you're coming up the court, you're walking through in slow motion. And it was really a great, great session for me because I was one that the only way I could really get control of the club is swing it at a pace that I could control it, that I could put the – so I would try to hit a 7-iron back then, 150 yards, but I would only swing like it was 100 yards. So it's a slow motion, and it got me in sync with my hands, wrists, and arms. And the hands, wrists, and arms turn the body back and turn the body through. That's what I learned from the great Jim Flick. And I think today all the people, they can't chip and putt because they have no feel with their hands because they're trying to move their chest and they're trying to move this, that, and the other. So learn at a speed that you can experience the feel and what's going on with the face of the club.
Make sure you can hit it solid at a slower pace first, and then we'll turn up the juice.
That's all you got to do.
How about Tom Landry? What was your experience with Tom Landry?
Once again, another great coach back in our day, in my day, Dallas Cowboys. He was a great player. He was a great, great coach, and I got to play golf with him up in Dallas. And I was standing on a practice tee, and I got up enough nerve and said, "Coach, okay, bud, what's your secret? Your Dallas Cowboys are killing us. You know, everybody really respects the Cowboys for a lot of different. You got great, you know, your quarterbacks." He said, "Charlie, I convinced my guys, my team, that You only play as good on Sunday as you practice on Wednesday. So it's all about practice, organized practice. And you have practice is all about drills, all about a walkthrough like Coach from UCLA.
Coach Wooden, sure.
Of course, you know, so I don't see the people. I see them walk to the practice tee, but they go with their driver and they put it up on a tee. And they hit all these drivers all over the place, and they go out on the golf course, and the second shot is off the ground. Sure. They don't know how to pinch the ball. You know, Harvey Penick, the great Harvey Penick, you want to hit the grass in front of the ball, not behind the ball. So find a way you can do that. You make a divot as you move into the golf ball, hitting down on it, closing the club face with the back of the left hand if you're right-handed, as I am. And everything else kind of follows that lead. And that momentum will take you through, and you can swing like Freddie Couples and get all the speed in front of the ball, not into the turf. Everybody's, you know, they're crashing their club into the ground.
Right.
And they're hitting it fat.
You know, the great Paul Marchand, who's one of my idols along with you, when I first started, he made me do this all summer when I first started with him. We hit 100-yard 7-irons. So we hit 5-1, 500-yard 7-irons, and then he let one rip on the 6, and then right back to 5 slow ones. Yeah. Full swings, full motion. And, you know, it made me the player I was back then, which was pretty good. But I'll tell you what, it was my favorite drill, and I still try to do it now.
I even did that in 2009 with a guy named Angel Cabrera. At the Masters on the tee before the fourth round, and you might say, "Well, what are you doing before the final round of the Masters?"
Trying to win a green jacket?
No, you're trying to swing slow. You don't think about win. You don't think about results. You think about execution. You have to execute the motion. It's kind of like a dance. You have to have a lot of moving parts, and every part has a timing that is involved to hit the ball correctly, to put the club on the ball so that it produces the shot that you want. So it's tempo, timing, and rhythm. You know, tempo, timing, and rhythm. You know what that is?
I know what it is. I don't find it as much as I used to, but yes, sir, I know what it feels like. Oh, and it's awfully good when it happens. Oh, I guarantee it. All right, Charlie, let's talk about Liv. Can we do a couple hot takes? Look, all the fans, I was driving over here this morning, all the fans and the media were blowing me up. Got to ask a couple questions for the golf doctor. Will Liv have to change its name of the tour if it goes to 72 holes? Because everybody knows Liv equals 54.
I think where we are with Liv in golf is you got to get this situation 3 years to work out. I mean, it's really upset the apple cart. A lot of different lawsuits going on. And the Liv people realize how valuable the game of golf is to get the word out. It's such a dynamic game. It gets the public involved to raise a lot of money for charity. Liv has never finally mentioned charity after the fact. So I really believe we got to give it more time and let it work out. Do I like what Liv is doing? No, I think they're the bully. And they're trying to, you know, get into the bar when the bar is full. Let's take slow, Greg Norman. I'm a little disappointed in Greg. I think he's holding a grudge because he didn't get his way, and that's too bad. Nicklaus and Palmer rearranged the tour in 1968, so they took it away from the PGA of America and made the PGA Tour, and look what it's grown to. So respect the history. Let's go at it, you know, one step at a time. And we're going to break right now.
We got a break. I got a hot take, though.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little more golf with Jason. We're going to get him to slow down just a little. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, the company that inspires business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
I'm Charlie Epps. We're going to finish the show talking with Jason Alexander, a little about the Houston Open, a little about a couple other questions he's going to come up with that I'll try to answer, and then we'll pick our picks, and we'll set it up for next week.
Absolutely. We got to get out and play some golf this afternoon. Can't beat the weather.
I'm going right after the show.
Real quick, how's your grandson? Give us an update on your grandson, Charlie.
Well, he's getting ready to tee it up in Dallas in a tournament. He's doing real well. He's a high school kid that's trying to you know, play high school golf and looking forward to what that might bring. And I'm proud of him, hard worker, and that's what all these juniors are doing today. They're really hard workers.
After your career, everybody thought in your family you were going to be, you were the pinnacle. And now we don't know. Oh, your grandson might make a run at you.
My daughter, Mimi, she won the state amateur. She won the city amateur.
I played junior golf with her. I know.
You better mention it. I remember. Come on. She went to A&M. She had a distinguished college career, so yeah.
She couldn't get into Stephen F. Austin like I did. I get it. You talk about pinnacles. Man, she had to go to College Station. I understand. All right, real quick. Couple hot takes here, Charlie Epps, because I want to finish this on Liv. It's over. Everybody talks about it, but I'm going to tell you this right now. If Liv didn't have the cash, if it was equal prize money for both tours, you wouldn't have any of the big names that went over there. And the other take I've got is I talked to Patrick Reed a little bit yesterday, and he looked at me. You could see it in his eyes. So I don't have a tournament to play until February after the team championship at Doral next week. And for a guy that golf matters to, the history of the game matters to, his place in the game, this is going to catch up with him. The young man that just won last week, everybody talks about. Let me tell you, he could win 10 live events and have $2 billion in his bank account. If he's every April, he's going to be sitting there watching his friends play at the Masters, and it's going to catch up with him. So I don't know. You give it a three-year shelf life, they'll get a TV deal. Will it be successful? Sure, it can't be. They've got all the money behind it. But I think some of these guys, it's really going to come back and haunt them, the decisions they've made, because money's not everything. History means a lot, and I think the combination of those two is where we're trying to get to. Let's talk Tiger just real quick. New video game for all the young fans out there, 2K23, pretty cool. Do you have it yet, Charlie, on the PlayStation 5?
No.
But go out and get it. A bunch of characters in the game. Jordan's in it. Steph Curry. It's a good buy and a lot of fun to play. And speaking of Tiger, will he contend in 2023? You can't talk too much Tiger. Do you think can he top 10 a major next year?
Are you asking me a question now?
Yes, sir. I'm done with my hot takes. Now it's back to asking you.
I think Tiger is quietly preparing his body and working as hard as anybody can in physical fitness, and that horrible accident has taken its toll on his body. But I think that he'll be ready for Augusta. I think we're going to see his father-son swing here in a couple weeks in December. But it's going to be exciting, and it's going to draw a lot of attention to the game. So there's four good majors next year that he can play in. So he's going to go for quality, not quantity. And I've been there since day one with the man, and what he has shown me. I mean, holy cow, what a career, and to close it out the way he's doing it is, you know, and he's behind the tour, the PGA Tour. You know, they offered him almost $1 billion, and he's you know, backing the boys. So we'll see, but I look forward to what Tiger shows us next year.
Did you spend any time, speaking of his beginning, and most people know this, but if you didn't, you know, he kind of got his professional start with Butch Harmon at Lock and Bar right here in Houston, Texas. Did you spend much time out there with Butch and Tiger back in the 90s?
No, not at all. Not at all. Butch was the pro out there. He started with Greg Norman. Greg Norman is really what he started his career with, and Greg you know, is a personality, but Butch being the Harmon family, and I was best friends with his brother Dick. He was in so many situations where he saw his dad and great players, and that's what people have to do. I mean, if you were on the tee with Hogan, you'd go watch him. You know, if you're on the tee with Nicklaus, you go watch him. And so Butch did all of that. And he's proven, you know, for the last 25 years, the best coach, if you will, and has had so much success. So he's now taken his young protege back that left him, and all of a sudden he finished second.
And when he left him, and not to go back to Ricky for too long, but he finishes in the top five in all four majors, which I think is just absolutely insane, crazy. It's wonderful playing. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
And then he goes to he's about to be playing Korn Ferry Tour events, and now he's back and finishes second.
There's different, strokes for different people and so on and so forth. But in the history of all sports, mostly the teams that have the great coaches –
and consistency.
Yeah, it's just like Dusty Baker right now. Dusty Baker was in the right place at the right time. He had such a history. I didn't like him playing for the Dodgers, but that's okay. He learned from everybody, and now he's the best manager in the game. And he's got total control of the team. And the team is the big deal. And it's a Dusty Baker team. And we hope that he goes all the way, because that's the only thing he doesn't have on his resume.
That's right. I agree. And taking the team from banging on a few trash cans back there in the dugout to where they are sitting here today with a 2-0 lead against the New York Yankees in the ALCS, I tell you what, that's a heck of a climb and a wonderful job. And you're right. Right place, right time. But he kind of took the ball and ran with it a little bit here.
But
and he's got control
give
of the team.
Jim Crane the credit, because he picked him.
Agree.
After a dark side of the game that we saw happen in 2017, to come out of that and all of a sudden you've won
won their division. Yeah, six years in a row.
So
what a stat.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you just kind of think we lost Correa and Springer left, and I think we've got a better ball club now. Pena is a much better hitter than Springer. It's a golf show, Correa. It's a golf show, but I tell you what, I think the Stros, they've got the sauce, the substance, and a lot of momentum right now, so we're all looking forward to the game today. All right, let's talk real quick. If you know about the LIV Team Championship, we got to talk the Team Championship, and we're not bashing LIV anymore, but this, I think, is pretty exciting. Next week at Doral, it's all team, no individual tournament. The Four Aces and the Canucks and the other names, the High Flyers with Mickelson. So they're all going to play in a bracketed tournament. And so the qualifying to get in, the 5 through 12 seeds, they had the captain play an individual match. The 2 and 3 guys play an alternate shot match. And then the fourth guy plays an individual match. And that's how you get through and go to the semifinals and then the finals. But it's all team on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think it's going to be entertaining. I wish the tour would do this. Maybe have three team events a year and then a final. I think it'd be pretty fun to watch.
Well, you're a guy that multitasks anyways. And that old saying, who's on first? That, to me, is too many activities going all at once. I don't get it. I'll have to see it to comment on it. They got a great golf course. Trump was mad at the tour for moving away, and so there's some dynamics there.
There are dynamics there, yes.
But we just got to see what happens.
We talk about fun and different, and Liv goes, we're cool and hip and fun, and this is fun and different, and it's a team aspect, and we all love watching the Ryder Cup and President's Cup, which you can't even come close to matching the history of those events. But this is something kind of cool and different, and I think if they had a few of them throughout the year, you'd kind of get to know the teams, the players, and you get to the finals. I think there'd be a little bit of emotional rooting interest, and you could bet $50 on it and have some fun.
I think their long-term Liv deal is a goal of having a franchise in 40 cities, just like baseball, and you have the rooting and you have the hometown that makes sense, and then the franchise has a number on it. Right now, if you wanted to an American League franchise, Jim Crane bought it for $660 million. I guarantee you his franchise now worth $2 billion. So that's where the money is in sports.
And if they can create it locally enough to where fans get behind it emotionally, it's all sports is about emotion and when you watch the game. And I understand that. But if they go to 72 holes and have a cut, how are you going to have a franchise? What if all your guys miss the cut, Charlie?
That's it.
I don't think they know what the hell they're doing.
We'll soon find out. Let's slow down just a little. Let's talk about Congaree. Congaree is a unique facility in that that was built for charity. It was built for helping kids grow their game from all over the world. I sent a couple kids from Argentina to Bruce Davidson's program at Congaree, and it's a golf course. It's just right outside of Charleston, South Carolina, and great practice facilities, but they have classrooms, and they teach these kids everything about life, and that's the basis of this whole club. And then they hosted, you know, a tournament last year for the PGA Tour, and they're back at it again. And this weekend, it's going to be a great weekend. Ram and Rory, John Rahm and Rory, two buddies from the European Tour, are going to go at it head by head. But it's a different game, and you're going to see the ball roll a lot. You know, that's what I like at my age. I can't carry it anymore, so I'm going to hit this low hook and let it go out there 100 yards. So I can't wait to watch the tournament this weekend and see what happens on Sunday. Who are you picking?
Who am I picking? It's all about Kurt Kitayama this weekend, Charlie Epps. Look out. I'm telling you, he's going to get his first big win. He's taking down Rahm and Rory. If I had $100 to bet, though, I'm going to put it on Rory McIlroy. Who's your pick? You got to pick two.
You know, I'm going to pick Rahm. I think he's on his hot. He shot low at 61 at the Madrid Open a couple weeks ago. He comes in here with a victory in hand. His ball striking is second to none. His angle into the golf ball, he pinches that ball really well. Puts enough spin on it on these greens. It's hard. I mean, these greens are very difficult. They're not only fast, but they're hard. So you've really got to make solid face contact with the golf ball to stop it around the hole.
But you know as well as anyone else here, and I think this is a great question, especially for our fans and listeners, how hard is it to back up a 62? Or for some of the fans out there, whatever your super low round is, you know, if you're 14 handicap and shoot 75, the next day you go, oh, I've got to figure it out. It just kind of doesn't work that way most times.
Yes, it does. It's a mindset. You've got a good friend of mine who was a student of mine and won his first tournament. He shot 62-63.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
That's Blaine McAllister. See? But he went, you know, he didn't think about that. You know,
but most do now.
If these guys, if you want to go low, you go lower the next day, and I predict Rahm won't shoot more than 65 today.
I'll bet you refreshment.
A refreshment.
Yes.
How about a bottle?
Okay. But I think Rory's more in a position to charge today. I think Rory's going to have the lead going into Sunday. I think he'll two or three pop Rahm. I got Rahm at 67 or 68. I think Rory's going to shoot 65. Last group at Congaree, two of the best players in the world in the top three. What more can you ask for in October golf?
It's October breaking. Oh, we got a
another break.
This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity. It's 8:50, almost 4. We're on a break, and we'll be right back with our better picks.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Okay, the mic is hot. We got a couple minutes to talk a little about our beloved Houston Open, one of the oldest tournaments on tour. We have a great sponsor this year at Cadence Bank, a Memorial Park golf course that's been renovated to play modern day golf. It's going to be on the Golf Channel, ESPN. Jason Kokrak is the defending champion.
Well, he's not going to be there.
Okay, but all right. Now, what do you think of the golf course? Have you played it?
I have. We had a section major out there last year. I think, you know, you kind of fall in love with the design that you've played for 20 years, but I think the greens are more tour quality now that you can hold a PGA Tour event on. So it's fun to go out there, and the routing's better, too. Much more fan-friendly in the city of Houston. Let's get behind it and go watch the best players in the world go at it.
Exactly right. Now, when you go to watch a tournament?
Absolutely.
How do you watch a tournament?
Well, I like to go out in the skybox and get a cocktail for a refreshment, we'll say. And then we're going to go out on foot, walk about, and go watch these guys hit shots. I love watching them chip and putt, hit shots around the green, and especially Memorial Park with all the slopes they've got. They can get creative. And it's wonderful fans. It's wonderful viewing for the fans.
It's a great golf course to watch. I like to pick a group and follow them and keep some statistics, just like going to a baseball game. Do you keep score when you're at baseball? Keep some statistics. How many fairways do they hit? How many greens do they hit? How many up and downs do they hit? And pay particular attention to the amount and shape of their shots around the green. You're going to see a swing that's a lot more under control and shorter to really make the contact. And most amateurs, in my opinion, their short game swings are too long.
I would agree, but watching the ball flight too. The ball flight and the spin, you can learn a lot out there at Memorial Park.
You can't see the ball flight. You got to watch
chipping.
The
you can.
You take your camera and take a picture, and that's it.
Well, video's good as well. Absolutely.
It's
hey, speaking of video, do you want me to send you a video of my swing you can look at?
Yeah, just what I really crave to see. But I'm just surprised you don't win something.
I'm trying.
I mean,
43.
Me, you know.
These young guys are good.
But we're breaking right now.
This the hour the flew by. We're done.
This has been the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity, the company that inspires business performance. Come on back. We will be here next week, and we'll talk about more nonsense. So, Jason, thanks for coming in. We'll get better. Behind the scenes over here, my Astro Hat buddy.